we have the wonderful Dr. Marta Parker, as I promised last week. Let's get started. I have a handful of questions for you, Dr. Parker, or Marla. Which would you like me to refer to you?
You know what? Marla is perfectly fine.
Okay. I'm asking because I always refer to her as Dr. Parker. So, and when you're in public, you best do the same thing or I'll come after you. <Just kidding. laughs> All right. So, Marla, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I am from Detroit, Michigan, and I kind of slowly made my way out west, doing my grad work in Chicago, then going to Arizona, and now here in California.
And lucky for California. So we're going to just do some questions. So what is your favorite food?
Mac and cheese. I am a mac and cheese snob, and I'm still looking for that perfect mac and cheese here in L.A.
We need to find that because I think we discussed this before, you and I, and best places to have mac and cheese yet. But you folks that are listening to us, you can also send in your suggestions of the best place to have mac and cheese.
So, yes, please. Thank you.
So we know your favorite food. What's your favorite song, my friend?
Let me see. I would say Pray For Me. It's on the Black Panther soundtrack by Kendrick Lamar.
Nice. That's a great movie.
It
Good
is.
Song too, right?
It is. Absolutely. I love it.
So I'm friends with you, mm-hmm. just to let the public know. So I have an idea what makes you laugh and your sense of humor, but share with us a little bit, because I think sense of humor and what makes one laugh is a huge thing to know about a person. So tell me a little bit about what makes you laugh and what type of sense of humor you have.
So I can laugh at anything ranging from like slapstick to something more cerebral, I guess. So when I was a kid, I would love to watch the Police Academy series. And I would do Ghostbusters.
Which I find amazing. I honestly find that amazing. I really, really, really do.
I'm serious. I exist on a range. I can be so incredibly goofy. But anything goofy, anything cerebral, anything sarcastic, I do have a dry sense of humor too. So I can relate to Frasier. I would watch that series too, and I would love that.
So what do you think of them doing a reboot of that?
Ooh.
A Frasier.
I would like
that. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Really? Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. They're saying keep tabs on that.
Well, you know, that's what I love about these modern devices, these cell phones. They'll send information to you whether you want it or not.
Right.
They're saying that the reboot's going to be, he's living in San Francisco and he's a Trump supporter. That's one of the rumors.
No, stop it. Really?
Yeah, which I find interesting because, anyway. But let's go back to what makes us laugh. So
right.
That's something makes me laugh, being a Trump supporter. But that's just my personal Andrew Williams statement there. Let's see. What is your favorite word? My favorite word is Ubuntu. I love that. I think we've had many discussions about it. Like Ubuntu is South African for I am because we are.
I would say it's a phrase. So my phrase, and it's probably have to do with my research, is cultural competency. Just because that's just so important right now. And it's just so critical, I think, for how we live and move and understand people. Cultural competency, I would say, is my favorite phrase word.
Now, let's discuss, is cultural competency just an urban grouping of words, way of life, professional living style, or is it something that can cover any kind of environment, like from farmland USA to a little town to a big city? Share with me. What do you think about
that's a good question. It covers everything. You know, cultural competency is not, you know, a political term. It's a skill that people, all of us, need to have everywhere that we go, because we all have our own sense of normal that is rooted in our own cultural norms and values. When we encounter people who are different from us, we have to, you know, be aware that our normal is not their normal. And that's part of what cultural competency is about, is being able to navigate in different places and spaces.
Nice. Boy, we need that right now, don't we?
Yes, indeed.
So I want to know a little bit about, you know, Public Words Project, as you well know, is about finding your voice and learning how to become more comfortable public speaking, using your public words, speaking in front of groups, classes, whatnot, even in the work environment, like to find your professional narrative to move forward. And you and I have had this discussion many times about how important it is to be able to storytell and have very effective communication. So I want to start jumping in more into like that path of discussion.
Yeah.
But to start that, it's really important for me to know what led you to where you are now. And I think that will segue into more of a communication chat. So I'd love to know, like, you know, where you went to school, why you picked the field that you did, and what lessons this education and this work process has given you so far.
Sure, that's a wonderful question. Actually, I kind of talked about this last night to some of my students, because some of them are just kind of concerned about being graduate students now. And I reiterated my story. I told them how I fell into being a professor. I had no intention, never any intention of being a teacher. And in fact, the idea of being a teacher terrified me. I was always concerned.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was always concerned about engaging in what I now know to be educational malpractice, whereby, you know, you don't really do right by your students. And my concern was, you know, teaching is such an important and just sacred practice, because, you know, people are putting their time, their knowledge, you know, their development into your hands. And that was just like a lot of responsibility. And so for me, I fell into teaching, but when I look back upon my life, I realized that I have been a natural teacher, you know, all this time, just in different contexts. And so I decided to get my PhD in the first place because I just felt like I needed and I wanted to know more in the field I was in, which is public administration. And I was telling my students last night that I knew that I didn't fit in a corporate setting, but I did get valuable lessons from that world. I knew that such a large part of me was about serving people and helping people and wanting people in places to be better. And then a friend of mine just told me about a public administration program. And just in the little bit of digging that I did, I had no idea what public administration was. And, you know, by and large, public administration, I think, does take the best parts of management and public service. And so that's what really resonated with me. And as far as, again, like the teaching aspect of this, that's how I was trained as a PhD, to research and to teach. But I was comfortable with the research stuff, but it's just that teaching part. It's not really until now, I would say in the last, you know, year or so, that I've gotten more comfortable with teaching, because I was always just so terrified of it, getting in front of people and speaking, and just having that responsibility of someone's, you know, knowledge development. And I took that very seriously. And again, to me, it was just so sacred that I didn't want to mess anybody up.
Wow. I mean, that's fantastic. And just, you know, you don't often see that side of teaching. You hear that side of teaching. Mm-hmm. I applaud you for being so fantastic and smart and compassionate and caring in regards to that, and taking the responsibility. What a huge responsibility. One doesn't think how much responsibility goes with this, but boy, you're hitting it right on the head. And I applaud you, sister.
Thank you.
That was good coffee. Coffee's awesome. So, you know, I know a little bit about you, but I want the people out there to understand why I'm asking this question. Because you put in the hours. So my question for you is, are you an alcoholic? Are you a workaholic?
I am definitely.
Are you a workaholic? Sorry.
It's okay.
That was a faux pas. She's not an alcoholic. She's
I'm
a workaholic.
Not.
She may. Are you a workaholic? That could lead to alcoholism, but that's not the question.
God, no.
Are you a workaholic?
I am a workaholic. I do enjoy a beer or a wine or a cocktail while doing work sometimes. Okay.
Fair enough.
But I am definitely a workaholic. And that's just because I'm in this space now where my purpose and my work align. And so there's this very blurred line between living out my purpose and being authentic and working. And so, When I get up in the morning and I'm going to class, I'm doing research, I know that it's work technically, but it's really just an extension of who I am. And so sometimes it can be really hard to just put that down because I'm always figuring out and thinking about how can I activate more of my purpose so that, other people benefit.
So, with that being shared, one of the things that I noticed that you do is you, when you talk to your students, you talk about side hustles. So, you already dedicate 120% to being a very fine professor at Cal State Los Angeles. What are some of your side hustles that are part of your education process or something separate? What are your side hustles and what's going on with that?
Thank you for asking. They're definitely part of what I'm doing. There are these common themes across everything that I do that helps me to work a lot more efficiently. And so one side hustle that I have is I'm working with a colleague, Melvin Armstrong Jr., Dr. Melvin Armstrong Jr. And we are,
Here we
yeah,
go.
there you go. And we are leading and implementing a financial literacy program at a middle school through Wedbush. It's a financial services firm. And so they were gracious and kind enough just to, sponsor, kids in this high school to help them just be better with their financial literacy and with education. So that's one thing. Melvin and I are also working on, doing this iSTEAM Institute, whereby we are really kind of combining the best practices of socially responsible innovation. So where it's innovation for the people by the people. So it's not innovation happening to an area or to a place, but it's people really getting involved in leveraging and creating an innovation economy where they're at through education, through business, economic development, placemaking, the whole bit. And I'm kind of getting into coaching now a little bit too, just kind of personal coaching a little bit. Which is really exciting for me. It's kind of like a natural extension. It's just like, intense office hours. Like from the now, the more I think about it, it's just like having just more intense office hours, with students, like a little bit more in depth. But so I'm doing that as well. And I'm always thinking about ideas, always, wondering if I can do this, if I can do that. So this list will probably expand when the next time you talk to me.
And there will be another time. So you have two side hustles right now. The three side hustles, right? What was the first one
The first
again?
one is the financial literacy program that's sponsored through Wedbush, and I'm doing that with Melvin Armstrong. And
The second?
the second is the socially responsible innovation. I'm doing that with Melvin Armstrong as well. And the third, I'm
And the
getting
third?
in the is the personal, coaching, like career coaching and just personal growth coaching.
Did you guys hear that? Did everyone, do you all out there hear that? Remember this. And I have to tell you, Dr. Parker, Marla has coached me along and made my life a better situation. So there's my testimonial and my amen. She's a great coach.
Well, and I have to just say, you are a great client because you have taken, just a little bit of encouragement that I've given you and you have run with it. And so, Anne Marie, listeners, hey, Anne Marie has come to my class and she has implemented her vocal crayon network coaching practice. And I mean, I have witnessed, my students have seen it and experienced just how transformational she is with getting people to open up and to network. And, my students, they talked about it afterwards and they were so happy that she was there. And I just saw her in a span of like 2 hours just be so powerful and impactful in helping people find their voice. So, my coaching is only as good as what my clients will do afterwards. So you are a great client. So bravo to you.
That was dual promotions right there, folks. Well, we're going to have another podcast with Dr. Parker, but and we'll talk in more depth about that type of situation. But right now, the one thing that you're doing as a professor that I really applaud is you are teaching your students how to pitch and how to do professional narratives now. Can you tell me a little bit about what's happening right now at Cal State Los Angeles with your students?
Sure. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I appreciate that. So I am working along with several other faculty and staff. The one lead co-founder, Dimitri Seals, who is teaching in sociology, has a great social innovation background. And so we're partnering and working together to just teach students the ins and outs and some of the basics of social and civic entrepreneurship. So we have a group. It's called the Civic and Social Innovation Group. It's a loose kind of organic, formation. But basically what we do right now is that we're taking our students who are in our classes and taking them throughout the course of the semester through an ideation process and really, I would say maybe indoctrinating is the wrong word, but encouraging them to engage in really pro-social entrepreneurial behaviors that not just only have an impact on society and their communities, but also themselves. And so our students have come up with these great ideas to tackle wicked problems with air pollution, political and civic engagement, voting, food, health, art, education, the whole lot. And so every semester, since about a year, since before now, we've been having the Civic and Social Entrepreneurship Summit. And since then, we have now grown to where we're having the mid pitch that is October 8th and 10th. If Anne Marie would be so kind as to throw up an invitation on this, that would be awesome.
Sure, sure. Thank Let me you. Write that down.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So October 8th and 10th, a select group of our students are going to just be showcasing and pitching their ideas to date. So they're not fully developed, but it's a chance for them to network with professionals, get feedback from professionals, and just to get some encouragement. And then we have a social innovation prize coming up next semester, and we're also having a social impact career connection. That's October 24th or 25th. I can get those details for you. So it's really Sure. about just infusing entrepreneurship on campus in an expanded, scaled way. So not just for profit and not just for certain disciplines, but letting students know that you have an entrepreneurial force within you, and we want to be stewards to help bring that out of you, basically.
So important, so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to Cal State Los Angeles, and I graduated from there, and I know you've heard me say this over and over again, but I'm going to say it again because we're doing a podcast. is that I wish this type of education / training happened when I was in school, because, you know, college is wonderful. It's changed my life. It changes one's life. It makes you more, it widens your scope. It opens your horizons, but you learn all this wonderful theory, and then you graduate, and you're like, okay, now what? Now what? What do I do now? And you are prepping them now with these presentations and these pitch forms. And it's just amazing to watch them struggle and then to polish up what they're doing. So it's nice to see the beginning, middle, and the end of it. And then you're giving them a wonderful skill set at an undergraduate level, which is so, so, so important, because that's going to help you get to a graduate school and on in different jobs. And so I don't know how you guys figured it out, but you figured it out. So good
job. Thank you so much. And I mean, and it can't happen without people like you. So you coming on down and being on a panel, you're doing your network coaching session with the students, you know, being a judge, like all of that matters so much, because they really, really, really appreciate when professionals and people who are in practice and people with experience and spend that time with them and to give them input, like it makes it so much more exciting. And that's something that for whatever reason, like I'm just like the old fuddy-duddy teacher, right? So it's like having that.
You are far from the fuddy-duddy teacher with your fade and your and your fashion. No, don't believe the hype, folks. She's being very humble. She's a hot tamale with a cool hairstyle, great fashion, and powerful makeup.
Oh,
so
gosh.
To that, but nice try, Marla. Good try.
Yeah,
we all know you're humble and wonderful, but she's also gorgeous and tall and very smart.
Oh,
so
thank you.
If you're never mind. I'm gonna stay on topic and stay on point. So for those of you out there listening, the three of you right now, I want you to seriously think about contacting me or Dr. Parker, and I will put up an email, and I'll put also on the Instagram a place where you can contact one of us so that you can seriously come in with your experience and your education to help further the education experience and the career path of some of some of our youth at Cal State Los Angeles. So keep an eye out for that. We're seriously going to put that out there. And we want sane, healthy, smart people. Yes. So if you're a Looney Tune, don't bother, because right. I will
filter you right. out.
We want positive, smart, healthy people, mm-hmm. as healthy as possible, as sane as possible, to be of service to these students.
Right. Absolutely. And I had a wonderful chance to take them to HaloLoop.com. It's a startup company kind of, combining spirituality, religion, and technology, which is great. And, you know, the students were mm-hmm. so happy about the experience. And, you know, the Halo Loop people were so impressed by the students and with us again. And so it's opportunities and it's experiences like that that are really important for mm-hmm. our students, but also understanding that, you know, when you do this, you get something out of it too. Like, you learn from the students because they really are mm-hmm. dynamite. They are phenomenal and they have right. so much in them. Like, we just need to give them just a little bit of stewardship. So, yeah.
No, you're right. It's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. It is a two-way street when it comes to education and empowerment. So thank you for saying that.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be chatting for just a couple more minutes, but one of the things I wanted to ask you about and wanted to have a discussion with you is, like, how important is good communication in our world today? What are your thoughts on that?
Gosh, you know, we had this discussion in class yesterday in my intergovernmental and cross-sectoral management class about the importance of communication. You know, communication, if it is not done with intentionality, purpose, and clarity, it can ruin relationships. It can create mistrust. It can make performance just much more difficult. It can
start wars.
Yes, it can start wars. It can, I mean, and even on a personal level, you know, it can just make your own personal navigation in a place and a space that much more difficult when it doesn't have to be. You know, you asked a question earlier, a great question about, you know, stories and like an important story in my work life. And I think I had that yesterday when I was just checking in with students and I was asking them, just kind of coming out of the content mode and just like checking in and asking, how are you doing? And really getting that feedback of like, you know what, I'm stressed out. I have a lot to do. And then allowing that to be a door to talk about, well, how are you adjusting to the program, to the MPA program, you know, if you're new. And then that allowed the door to open for me to be vulnerable about, you know, my pathway and saying, like, I was in your shoes at one point. And at one point I was freaking out about writing a 5-page paper when I first got back mm-hmm. to school. And then, you know, from that 5-page paper and just being consistent and persistent, you know, I got my dissertation done. I have my PhD. And so, you know, communication, it allows us to be vulnerable in a way that's going to be productive, to help somebody mm-hmm. else. But again, it can avoid so many problems, right? So I would say that's right. my spiel about the value of communication.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And, you know, I think, like, you brought up a key word, like vulnerable. So many, I mean, in our American society, vulnerability is considered a weakness. And I really don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. I think if you have the ability to be vulnerable, it's a sign of strength and honesty and mm-hmm. bravery, because
to stand back and say,
I don't really understand that. Can mm-hmm. you explain it to me? I find far more value in that other than fake it till you right. make it, because fake it till you make it, it's the base is dishonest, and it's only going to lead to backing yourself into a corner. I mean, it works for some people, mm-hmm. but the people I want around and the people I want to work with, I want there to be like this strength and vulnerability. And that's the kind of person I want to work with and help and support. But, we'll get there eventually.
Absolutely.
So,
yes, we will.
So just a couple more questions. So,
your favorite speaker, who have you seen speak
that just really motivated you and moved you?
Maya Angelou. I haven't seen her speak. I never saw her speak in person, but just in, you know, like watching her, you know, speak in different televised locations and looking at televised interviews and things like that. Her, you know, just her. She was phenomenal. You know, she's dynamite. She left such a strong impression. I mean, she was graceful and powerful, and I loved how she was able to take just, you know, simple words and string them together in such a powerful way that really gave us pause to think about what we're doing and why we're doing it, but also, you know, a source of empowerment. You know, she was an empowering figure. And so I would say Maya Angelou for sure.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice, and I applaud you for that again, sister. And I have nothing else to say because she's magnificent.
One of the questions that we
talked about earlier and we're going to bring up again, it's like, who would you like to interview that living or dead, but not a celebrity? Hmm. I know you remember this question.
Yes.
And
I know you remember the answer.
So can you share it with us?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be Barack Obama. I'm sure that is on everyone's list, but it would be him. He has, again, I'm a person that really appreciates grace and power in a graceful way. And mm-hmm. he personifies nice. That to me. And he gets his point across, but he's still eloquent. He exudes wisdom in so many ways, but he's still so accessible and he still exhibits mm-hmm. grace under pressure. And he's humble, and he can be vulnerable as well. And I think for me, mm-hmm. what I appreciate about, you know, like leadership and things like that, because that's what I teach, that kind of leadership, you know, and I think he just has a true heart for service, you know, and making people and places better. But he has the wisdom and the intelligence and the grace and the power, and the vulnerability and the honesty and authenticity to make that happen. So mm-hmm. Barack Obama, if you're listening, if you would like to come to an MPA class, please feel free to come to mine. I would appreciate it.
The three listeners out there, again, if you have a connection
to President Obama, let's make this happen.
Right, exactly.
This is America, and anything can happen in America. So,
like in the 70s with that commercial, you tell two friends and so on and so on. The three listeners tell your friends and
so on and so on and so on until it gets to.
I have to tell you, I would love to interview Michelle Obama.
Mm.
There's the strength mm-hmm. and this, just again, this grace and this integrity there. And my mother is a big fan of Michelle Obama. And I think that has a lot to do with me being a big fan of Michelle Obama.
Now, you know, she's coming here, right, to LA.
I have seen some emails, but I have not read them fully.
Yeah, she's coming. A friend of mine invited me. Mm-hmm. So we're going. So I have
nice.
A ticket.
Take a picture.
I will.
Take a picture.
I will.
And,
I will live through you for this okay. particular instance.
All right.
Vicariously living through you. Oh. That's awesome. How cool is that?
I know. And it's around my birthday time. So this is like one of the best birthday gifts ever.
There you go.
Well,
it's going to be a happy, happy birthday for Dr. Marla Parker.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So we're going to wrap this up. I have a question for you. And this will be the last question. Then we'll wrap it up. What would you like to say or share with our listeners? What are your final words for them? Advice? Anything? What takeaway do you want them to leave with?
Ooh, gosh, that's a wide open question, man. I would say, you know, I'm in this place right now where, you know, I'm going through transition and my work is intensifying and I'm emphasizing self-care. So I'll just, you know, briefly talk about, you know, the importance of self-care,
sure.
You know, going through transitions, because that's where I'm at. So I'm going to speak from a place that I'm living right now. And
okay,
so
excellent.
I'll say to my listeners, you know, your self-care is so important. And I'm preaching to myself as I mention this to you. You cannot be efficient. You can't do these great things that you want to do if you do not engage in self-care. And, you know, especially to, you know, my Black and brown folks, you know, women, Or oftentimes we think that we're doing something wrong if we engage in self-care. You know, I will reference Audre Lorde, you know, Black feminist, essayist, novelist. You know, self-care is not a luxury. You know, it is an act of political warfare, essentially, right? And so, yeah, and so your preservation, not just for yourself, but for improving your places and improving your communities, it's going to depend in large part on how whole and how healthy you are. So please engage in self-care. And, you know, the other thing I want to say, don't be afraid of success. I know that that may sound kind of counterintuitive, but, you know, oftentimes I think that we can wish for, pray for, crave for success. But then when it comes to us, it's like, whoa, this is actually happening. And it may give us some pause, right? But I would say ride with it. You know, you're being stretched, you're going through transition to be able to engage in and really live in that new space of success that you're going to be in. So don't be afraid of it. You know, just go for it. You know, ride the wave. Don't succumb to it.
There we have it. Words of wisdom from a
bright mind.
Thank you.
Marla, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be your friend. It's a pleasure and honor to be your colleague. And it's wonderful to chat with you. And this is only the first conversation we're going to have with the wonderful Marla Parker.
And thank you so much, Anne-Marie, for, you know, choosing me for this. You know, you are my heart. I love and appreciate you so much. You know, you've been a blessing to me. And so I appreciate this. I really do. And I appreciate, you know, looking at your success, you know, and seeing how you're blossoming. So, you know, bravo to you.
Mutual love and respect. We're going to end on that positive note. Everyone have a wonderful weekend.
Have a great weekend.
Share this with the next 3 set of friends and so on, so that we can start spreading the Public Words Project love and education. Thank you, Dr. Parker.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.